Thor thoughts. Today we're talking all about Thor Ragnarok. What does it mean? Hopefully you know because you've seen the film, because we're going to spoil a bunch of stuff. So the latest film, Ragnarok, and that kind of onslaught of superhero movies that have kind of been this endless, overwhelming siege of superhero movies that we've had since, like, Iron Man. Was that kind of the first one of this wave? The wave one or whatever they call it? 2008. And since then, for Marvel, it's been like a step-by-step building of all these characters and storylines and bringing in old favorites like Wolverine and X-Men and bringing in like new ones like Chris Pratt and crazy characters. Yeah, that's the name of the character. I don't know if you guys knew that.
That's official.
Guardians of the Galaxy, and the pilot is Chris Pratt. Mm-hmm. Anyway, but yeah, since then, it's been like crazy Game of Thrones, like endless plots that are just like weaving, and now we're getting like the universe and this purple guy's on a throne. We're going to get into all that. But it's become like some superhero soap opera, basically, that we can't stop watching. And we all saw this, and I think we all loved this. We'll get into that, I'm sure. But, you know, it's gotten some good reviews, Ragnarok has. So, really quickly, you know, I'm here with Chad Franks, host of The Resistance Rewind. Dominic Lang, host of What Exactly Am I Watching Here? Are you host of that? Co-host? What are you?
Co-host.
Co-host of that. And guys, we're going to jump right in. So, Dom, I'm going to start with you. My kind of opinion of Thor is he's this like boring character. Even before all the movies, I read some of the comics as a kid.
Yeah.
And he's just like, he's a god. So he has the like Superman complex of like, his powers are just kind of there and he's just the strongest and he's just the whatever. And he's, his hammer is really powerful and big and all that, whatever. Mm-hmm. But his personality is just like cardboard, right? He doesn't have like any cool vices. He doesn't have these like amazing relationships that we all just like pine after or think about or whatever. And he's traditionally been like one of the most boring characters, especially like the MCU, right? The whole, all the, yeah, the films.
It's been, I think that the big takeaway for Ragnarok is that they basically took the most boring character of the MCU and made it into like someone you want to hang out with. I think there were a few short films released in the like kind of run up to Ragnarok, and it basically like put Thor in the office, and they were.
I didn't even. Is this like what they did with Blade Runner, where they did like the short, like, yeah, 5 minute?
I think they were called Team Thor. So basically, like, it was the question of like, what was Thor doing during Civil War? Because that was one of the like, hey, Civil War is awesome, but like, where did Thor go?
You got to check it out, man. Yeah. Like, it's funny. You really do. It's really funny.
It's hilarious. And that was the first kind of like hint that like, oh, like Thor's funny. If you actually just like give him a chance. And well, a lot of credit also to Chris Hemsworth, who, when given the opportunity, just knocked it out of the park in terms of making Thor a little bit more goofy, a little more awkward, and just in that sense, more fun. You know, that's the reason why people are enjoying Ragnarok so much, is that like, this is just a fun movie.
Yeah.
And it exemplifies what a comic book movie in the minds of a lot of people should be. Just like, it's otherworldly. You have all these like bright and incredible characters, super interesting. You're never going to see this on Earth. And it's just like, this is entertainment in a whole other level.
Yeah, definitely. It's been interesting to see, because they're just printing money at Marvel now, which 10 years ago they were bankrupt. It's just crazy how quick that turns, but how they've pivoted from doing the same movie where the world is ending every single time and they have good guys come in and save it at the end, to now, you know, you had Ant-Man a couple years ago being kind of that heist film, and again, a lot more levity than the Avengers and some of the other ones. And then you have Logan that came out earlier this year or last year, whenever it was.
Technically, Logan is through Fox, because X-Men is still through Fox.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I'm just thinking of, I'm just broadening it, I guess, then it's just a superhero. Yeah. But thank you. You're right. You're right. But it's nice to see them kind of them just being Hollywood, I guess, in this instance, just being able to switch things up and go for things that don't just fall cookie cutter into the previous iteration of those characters or those plots or whatever.
It's interesting that you say that too, Ben, because I think I had read that originally Hela was supposed to destroy New York City, and then they changed that. In their inner revision. I think it's good because I think one of the good things about Marvel, I think, is I feel like they're a little more in touch with the fan base as opposed to like DC or maybe some of the other ones. Like, because people were so much falling in love with Christopher Nolan's Batman films, and I understand why, because they were amazing, but they tried to copy that instead of like go, you know, in another direction. I think that the studios have failed when they try to just do a copy of a copy, whereas Marvel, I think, is succeeding because they're they're trying new things, and I think they're really being responsive to their fan base. And I think that really showed very well in like, if you look at the arc of the Thor movies, I think they're very much paying attention to what fans are saying, or at the very least, they're being inventive on their own, I think.
Yeah. It's cool to see them not pivot in a way that kind of rejects what previously happened, right? Like with the two Hulk films, too. There's only two, right? Where it's just like, the previous one didn't happen, and this is a new one, and I'm sure if they make a third one, they'll probably do that, because Marvel's in a much different place than they were back then, or Fox, or whoever made the previous ones. But yeah, just the fact that these are definitely three movies that are sequential. The original Kenneth Branagh one, Dark World, and then Ragnarok. But the levity and the comedy and just the characters, and there's just so much more joy in Ragnarok than there are in the previous ones.
So much.
Which is where you bring levity and it makes everything more believable and more realistic, at least like personality-wise, character to character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
My favorite... Well, one of my top favorite moments in Ragnarok is when Hulk and Thor are fighting in the stadium, and Thor tries to use, like, they make fun of Age of Ultron, where he's like,
yeah,
like, sun, yeah. Sun's getting low, buddy. Sun's getting real low. Yeah. And it's just like, kind of taking the piss out of themselves. They're like, all right, we get it. Like, we got really serious on that last one. Like, it's okay. And then Hulk just shakes it off. I thought that was brilliant.
It's funny because this conversation makes me think, have you guys ever gone, we're all like in our 30s here, or maybe late 20s, and you go back and like read stuff that you read or you wrote in college, or you're in college and you read stuff you wrote in...
And it's awesome?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's always better than I remember.
Exactly, yeah. Well, the rest of us that aren't narcissists, I guess, we're embarrassed by our previous writing, you know, or at least things that we worried about, you know? So I like that Marvel doesn't have that complex, you know what I mean? Or they're willing to go back and, like you said, overcome that. Like, yeah, they could have totally retconned it, which I think is what's going to be happening with a lot of these DC films. There's a lot of rumors going around that Flashpoint's going to come in and wash everything. And even though that would be interesting, and I think they should do that because they're garbage. But I at least think that but I like that Marvel is willing to be like, look, okay, maybe we're learning, we're growing, and I think I like that because it doesn't treat the fan base like they're stupid, and I appreciate that. So.
Right. Well, even. Even the fact that, like, we mentioned The Incredible Hulk, like, the movie, so the one with Edward Norton, maybe not the most beloved, not terrible, but whatever. They brought back William Hurt's character, Thunderbolt Ross, in Civil War. Acknowledging that movie, but that's still, like, improving on it, I think shows an adaptability. And I think Ultron, they kind of acknowledge, like, maybe just implicitly, like, we need to try different genres and different styles. It's like Ultron kind of felt like peak that kind of palette. And if they were just going to keep pumping movies out like that, it was just going to diminish in quality. So the fact that they're trying different genres, different feels, shows that, like, we want to do this well and do this differently.
Yeah, I think something that excelled in, we talked a little bit about, was kind of the world ending. Like, the fact that, spoiler, the world ends. The world literally ends at the end of this movie. That's how the movie ends. They have to go find a new world. And that's that. But it doesn't end on a sad note at the same time. It doesn't feel like a tragedy. Like, they do it in such a way, they turn it in such a way that just feels so honest and so, again, joyful is the word I keep going back to. I think of every scene I think of that's like my favorite scene or my favorite line just makes me smile. Yeah. And this is like their home world exploded in one of the last scenes. And it's the fact that they made that kind of turn is amazing to me.
I heard somewhere that they basically just set up a new version of Battlestar Galactica because they're just floating around looking for their new home.
Looking for Caprica?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nice. I'm okay with that. I'm absolutely okay with that.
Oklahoma's like Caprica. I mean, they're both beautiful.
The geek just explosion when Asgard lands on Caprica and when Thanos takes the Iron Throne. That's when everything that's a singularity. Everything just shuts down.
The apex of nerdedom.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Wow.
Love it, man.
Another thing that constantly bothers me, and not just me, but it constantly bothers me in superhero movies, and DC does this just as much as Marvel, But it's just like when you have like energy blasts or like super strength on super strength and people are fighting and not getting hurt. Mm. And I'm like, what are we, you know, in a whatever movie without superpowers and people are fighting, you're like, oh my gosh, he got cut, or oh, he's on the ground, like he's out, he's whatever. And it's realistically getting hurt. And with superheroes, it feels like everyone has Wolverine's instant healing factor or everyone is invincible. And by the way, I was looking at Hela's, the character of Hela, and her Wikipedia page today. I was diving deep. And one of her superpowers, or her mutant powers, whatever it's called, is reincarnation.
Wow.
Which might be my favorite superpower.
Which, by the way, I don't think we've seen the last of her, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, obviously not, that's her power, right? So, yeah. Sorry. But getting back to it, I like how this movie obviously had that. You have the whole, what was it called? Champions, Conquest of Champions, whatever that's called, in the Colosseum. We have Thor and Hulk going at it for like 10, 15 minutes. And they're almost doing that to make a point of like, they're not going to get hurt. Right, it's like so over the top from the very beginning where they're throwing each other like across the world basically and no one's getting hurt, and that happens throughout the film, especially at the end when you have Hela and them fighting. But there was no point in the movie when I was like, really, like that no one's getting hurt at all, because they had the obligatory fighting, but it was done in a way where they, with plot and with dialogue going on at the same time, that it didn't really matter who won that specific fight at any point during the movie to me. It was the bigger things that mattered, that I cared about.
Yeah, there were points where Thor was getting his ass kicked, but then, like, that's, you almost had those moments of like recall with him and his dad.
Yeah.
And so like those moments, maybe not of like, if not physical peril, more of like this mental peril that was going on.
Yeah.
For you, Ben, who is the, like, the breakout character, like your favorite new character from Ragnarok?
Oh man, part of me, I love Ruffalo, but I can't be breakout at this point.
Right.
It's gotta be Tessa Thompson, right? I thought Kate Blanchett was amazing as Hela, but I hope she's dead. She's probably gonna come back. Whatever it is, like, I feel like I can't like that character because I'm such a fanboy. I'm like, no, she's a bad guy. I can't like her. I thought Tessa Thompson was amazing the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Every scene she was in, I was just eyes on her. Like, she is just acting the shit out of this scene. The kind of hinting at like, do I know you between her and Ruffalo was so good. And it almost got to the point where it was over the top, but they both just did it so beautifully well that with any other actors, I think it would have been annoying. But with them, I just laughed every single time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. What about you, Chad?
Buddy cop film. Buddy cop film with this.
Oh, my gosh. That would be amazing.
Right? Right? No. I think the fact that that question is really hard to answer just speaks to how really good this film is, because it introduced like a multitude, you know, or a handful of new characters. And I'm having a hard time deciding because I Tessa Thompson was amazing. Everything she's in is great. I mean, I can't, everything she's in is amazing. From Veronica Mars, like we were talking about earlier, to Creed, you know, I mean, she's just, I love her. She's the best. I thought Kate Blanchett was phenomenal. I thought she was really cool. I think she did great in the role, but the role wasn't that great. I think there was a lot of, there's a lot of room for her to grow, which is why I hope it's not the last time we see her, because they didn't give her a lot to do. Yeah, they didn't give her a lot to do, but what they did give her, she like took it and ran with it and was so good and was having fun. And that's one of these things I love about Marvel movies, is they can get all these big stars to kind of come in and that basically they tell them, we're going to just pay you millions of dollars to go and have fun. Like, go in and have the time of your life. Like, they got Robert Redford to do a Captain America movie, and he just loved it. I like that these guys, they don't come in and they're just not getting the paycheck. They're like basically saying, if you're going to come and do a Marvel movie, just come here and have the time of your life and let the people in the audience see that. And that's what I felt Kate Blanchett was doing.
Yeah.
But then I gotta admit, man, even though he was a really small role, every time Korg was talking,
oh my gosh, piss off, Ghost!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Another day, another Doug. No,
okay, new Doug.
But every time I learned halfway through the movie, okay, if I see this guy on screen, stop drinking my soda, because I'm gonna spit it out if I don't, because it was just, I lost my mind every time. So part of me, like, even though like he was really minor compared to some of these other breakout characters you're talking about, I think I really have to go with him, because I'm hoping this really is shows the direction that the films are going, because at the end of the movie they show him and he's kind of part of his new posse. And I just want that to, that's what I want. Cause Thor kind of, they completely killed his entire like old posse. They're gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're all gone.
The Warriors three didn't even have a line. Zach Levi died without saying anything.
Yeah. And I think they're like, yeah, we kind of want to like turn the page on these guys. Let's kill them. And now let's give a bunch of fun new guys to go and have fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so including Tessa Thompson, you know, like all this group he's got now. And I'm like, I'm okay with that. I really am okay with that. So even that's kind of a bummer. But yeah, no, it's just really interesting to see. Don't get me wrong. I want to hear your answer to this too, Dom. But like, yeah, I think maybe when they first were going to make these Thor movies, they thought, okay, these are going to be like our dramatic Shakespearean deep Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And like, you know, like, is there, and then, the, you know, obviously they got Kenneth Branagh to direct them. And I think that's what they were looking for.
Yeah.
And then now they got, you know, Taika Waititi who, you know, started off on Flight of the Conchords and then ended up doing, you know, what they do in the, or what we do in the shadows, which is, if you haven't seen that, go see it.
Do you like the nice reference to it with Korg?
Oh.
When he's like, don't know what you'd use this for unless you were trying to stab three vampires standing really close. Oh my gosh.
So oh good. My god, it pulled you off. flying.
It sounded like you have a very intimate relationship with this hammer. So good.
And then losing it was akin to losing a loved one.
Oh man, if you guys haven't seen it, you have to see it. It's so good. Anyway, so good. But no, I'm really glad the direction that it's going. But what about you, Don? What did you who's your breakout character?
Yeah, I like Tessa Thompson is getting my vote for sure. I thought she was fantastic from her introduction to just like the way that she interacts with Ruffalo and Thor, just like kind of not taking any crap from him.
Yeah.
I thought she, just overall nailed it. She's fantastic. Grandmaster Jeff Goldblum. We haven't talked about Jeff Goldblum.
Dude, oh my gosh. I can't believe it took us this long to bring him up.
Yeah.
Holy cow. He's all I talked. I think it's because he's all I talked about for a week. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, you're coming off of an excellent, excellent, excellent podcast on Jurassic Park. And
thank you.
You want to talk about life finding a way. Jeff Goldblum as the Grandmaster. My word. Yeah. Just a lot of fun. I mean, it's shocking to me that it's taken 17 movies for Jeff Goldblum to get into a Marvel movie.
Yeah.
But it feels fantastic. And the fact that him and Benicio del Toro, so like comic book wise, they are brothers. Huh. Which is, I want to see like a buddy movie with them. Like the Collector and the Grandmaster.
Take all my money. Just take all my money right now. If that happened. I'm not kidding, man. Oh my gosh.
I'm there. Yeah.
Holy cow, that's a great idea. Just start writing it. Just go write it. Write it right now.
I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go, guys. Yeah.
That's gotta be a part of Infinity War, I would think, right?
Because well, I hope.
It's funny that you say that because I keep thinking that it can't just be like 80 of all these heroes versus Thanos, you know? And I think they're gonna bring back Hela. I think they'll bring back Jeff Goldblum, and I think it's gonna be, they're gonna have to have more of these guys because it can't just be 1-on-20, you know what I mean? So I hope a lot of these characters that we see, or they're going to start coming back. At least that's what I'm hoping for. So, and how I would love it if just somehow, just to see if Goldblum like kind of uses his, you know, his powers or of persuasion to kind of like get an army to rise up, so they just have bodies to go against all these Avengers and stuff. I think it'd be great. Oh, he was so good.
What surprised you most about the movie?
I think from the very beginning we kind of touched on it earlier, but the voiceover.
Yeah.
He's just like in his little cell, basically saying like, I know what you're thinking. He's talking directly to the audience, or it seems like it, right? I know what you're thinking. How did I get here? And he kind of goes through this like really cheesy exposition, and then he's talking to a skeleton, and then he falls down. He's connected to this chain, and that following scene where he's talking to whatever that demon monster thing is hilarious.
It's so funny.
Kind of the first time we've seen Hemsworth be hilarious. Like, we've seen him a couple one-liners. Usually he's the butt of the joke, right? He's kind of the Captain America when he's there, where it's just like, he's a serious god and we'll make fun of him. And isn't it weird, Fish Out of Water and him and Natalie Portman? That was kind of the first two movies.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen him, you don't need to now.
Yeah,
So it was cool seeing him be the man in control of the scene, in control of the fight, and choosing to bring humor to that just right off the bat. I was in from the first minute because of that opening.
Absolutely.
It's funny. It took me a little longer, actually. Like, I mean, I think it took me to like the end of that scene because I was like, I'm not like comfortable with like this. I preferred it now, but for some reason, like Hemsworth wasn't selling me right away. But I think it was my brain adjusting. Like, you know what I mean? I think it was mostly me trying to figure. And then after that, I bought in. I was like, I just want this forever. It was so good. You know what I mean? It was really good. Yeah. But it was fantastic. And the action in that opening scene too really just got me pumped. I was just really, I was just like in my seat getting excited. Like I think the choreography and the action actually to me was some of the best I've seen in a Marvel movie, at least action wise. I was like, whoa, this is really cool. Just seeing him with the hammer flying around him, it was just really cool. And I was laughing.
Led Zeppelin in the background.
Yes, exactly. I mean, they really got a lot of mileage off of that song.
They really did.
Led Zeppelin royalties.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not complaining, but yeah, it was really good.
Yeah.
What about you, Dom? What surprised you the most?
Yeah. The opening scene, again, like, just as a great cue to, like, the movie you're about to see. It just felt like almost... It felt like a James Bond movie where you come in on the end of the previous adventure.
Yeah.
And then you just have this moment where you're like, you know, Bond's in control, even though he looks like he's, you know, in peril. Thor's got this. And he's just having, like, I forget the name of the charcoaly lava demogorgon. But when he's talking about like the end of Asgard and all this, he's like, hold on, wait a minute, turning. Okay, continue. Like he's in control. And to have that humor and that lightness to Thor is just like, oh, thank goodness. Just as contrast to like the heaviness that Thor's been and just the lack of humor and lack of vitality.
Surtur is the name of the crazy devil horn guy from the beginning and the end of the movie.
It's the Balrog. It's the Balrog. Yeah.
It's the Balrog. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Chad, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No. Should have known.
I think it's got to be a careful balance of maybe not in the first scene, because the first scene you just want to see Thor kick ass.
Yeah.
But a careful balance of all these movies where they are super endlessly powerful, but if they fight everything like that, it's just going to get boring.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they've fallen into that a few times, so.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny that you brought up, too, I think what I would have liked to have seen, because there really was not much to nitpick about this film. There's a couple things that kind of stick in my side, but overall it was really great. But one of them was kind of what you were bringing up, how I would have liked to have seen some real consequences, like maybe in the arena, seeing somebody who's not a god. I'm not trying to, like, say I crave violence, but maybe see somebody actually really get hurt or really even bleed a little bit, you know what I mean? Just to kind of show, like, oh, okay, no, that, like... It almost to show how like powerful Thor is. Like Thor's a god, so that's why he's like not getting hurt. But like these people aren't, you know what I mean? And like that way we kind of establish the rules a little bit. But
yeah,
I mean, but then something else awesome would happen, and then I wouldn't be paying attention.
I think they tried to do that when he first landed in the garbage, and like just the normal dudes took him down. Mm-hmm. And I was like,
yeah,
like he took out a couple.
That's true. Yeah.
Their arms didn't flap or anything, but it was like, oh, these aren't just humans. These are more powerful. They're somewhere in between Thor and humans. It seemed like
That'd have been interesting. Maybe a scene where one of the old Dougs gets gets destroyed, and so you like almost like in a way you can't quite make out that it's the Hulk, but this like this force, this monster, like rips him to shreds, and like that's the champion that Thor is going to face.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe just if anything, like something to give a little more consequence.
He does get his eye ripped out at the end.
That is true.
Adds a little weight to it, a little some consequence, but that's not till the end, I guess.
Mm-hmm. On the subject of minor nitpicks, I'll always fight for more Idris Elba.
Yeah, I'm
always soaked when he's on screen. However, they can use him more is okay by me. So
yeah, more of him. Maybe he'll be part of the new crew when they're traveling and trying to find a new, and then they run into the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. And then Chad, to your comment earlier, I really do hope that Hell is still alive. Because if it's just like one more dead Marvel villain who was the actor trying to separate the actor from the character. Like Cate Blanchett is fantastic. The character of Hela, as like what she was given or not given in this story, like there's a lot more to be explored. Yeah. Even just like if you found out that like your father, whom you conquested galaxies with, like covered up your entire existence, that would piss you off something awful. So the fact that like she has that story and is so like she's the goddess of death, like that's a badass character. And to just like introduce her, tell her story, wrap it up, and move on in one movie, that feels like it's a huge disservice. And then just like a lost opportunity for some good storytelling.
If I put on my nerd goggles real quick, Thanos does destroy either a universe or an entire world at one point in the comics for a character named Death.
Mm.
And it's not Hela, but she is the goddess of death. So I figure her coming back to kind of help Thanos in Infinity War or post-Infinity War or whatever, like, that makes the most sense to me.
That'd be fun. That'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd like to see if it's like somehow like they have some type of romantic interest too or something like that. And then like a really dark rom-com starring Kate Blanchett and Thanos. With what's his name? Who's playing Thanos again?
Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
Brolin is. Yeah, I'd see that. It's their dark romantic. It's the cold-blooded, stone-blooded killers or whatever with those two.
I'd like that.
I'd go see that. But no, I'm with you. I think I've heard that same thing too, Ben. And I'm really hoping it happens. If she comes back to help out Thanos, I would be greatly elated. So when are we out till? When's Infinity War 1 or
May.
Whatever?
May. Yeah, it's coming May 2018.
Wait, May, like 8 months from now, May?
Mm-hmm. May, yeah.
No, 4 months from now, May.
I'm not ready. Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
Let's go big picture, and we can come back to this in a little bit. But big picture, my concern, and maybe I shouldn't be, right? Because every film comes out, and it's enjoyable. At the least, it's like, oh, that was a fun romp. And you have ones like this that were really good. Mm. My big picture, my concern is it's the Game of Thrones problem, right? I don't know if you guys have watched this, but you know enough about it to at least talk with me really surface-levelly real quick, mm-hmm. which is... Every episode in the first season is more characters. Season 2 happens and it's more characters. Season 3 and it's more characters. And every time there's a new movie, every year it seems like they come out with a new Guardians of the Galaxy, or you get new characters in every single one of these films that we're not killing them off as fast as we're gaining them.
Yeah.
And it's not a comic book in the sense that people can just have one-offs, and there's not going to be like independent films around Loki and his adventures in between movies or whatever. Like, these are all $100 million films that they can only put to, one or two, maybe three a year.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I'm wondering, how does that end? Because we're seeing in Game of Thrones, as they kill characters off and they're trying to like tie this up in the next year or so, that it kind of gets boring. Maybe that's not the right word, but it's like, it's not nearly as like interesting when your brain's like, wait, who was that person and who did they screw over and who was the last person they loved and what are they fighting for? And when, as they dwindle and it's down to like 4 or 5, then it's just like, all right, let's just get this over with.
Yeah.
So I guess my question to you is, how does this end? Does it ever end? Do we have to end in like this weird bankruptcy, or is it what I said earlier, just a soap opera that kind of goes on and we just keep giving them money to join new characters and recycling the same old plot lines over and over?
I think, not to be cynical about it, but they're just going to keep making movies as long as they keep making money. And once they start to, once maybe there starts to be a downturn, whatever that is, then they'll probably find a way to just like end it and kill it off. It may even be unceremoniously, and then they'll reboot it in X amount of years. You know what I mean? So so I think what they're going to do is they're going to find a way to just keep hooking us in, like, so I don't think there'll actually be an end. They'll find a way to kind of, perpetuate the cycle so they can just keep making money. And what I could see happening too is where like the characters stay there. They'll do one of two things. They'll either do one of, like, where it's a James Bond thing where like all of a sudden Tony Stark is not played by Robert Downey Jr. anymore. He's now played by George Lazenby. Good pull. And so, you know what I mean? Like, it'd be, but something like that where they'll be like, it'll be like, so Tony Stark, or they'll pull it where it's the superhero stays the same. So it's going to be Iron Man, but instead of it being Tony Stark played by Robert Downey Jr., like, it'll now be another character within the universe now wearing that uniform or something.
Yeah.
And I think that one of the clues to that is the gentleman who plays Bucky and the Winter Soldier.
Sebastian Stan. Yeah.
Yeah. So when they got his contract, thank you, Dom. They signed him on for 10 plus films. I don't know the exact number, but I know it's more than 10 plus films. And I think their reasoning behind that is, first of all, they don't want to have to renegotiate. And what I love is that the films aren't specified. They're just like, you are now owned by us for 12 films or whatever. And I think the idea behind that is eventually Chris Evans is going to bounce. He's going to either get too expensive or not want to do them anymore. And he wants to go make, you know, some side projects or whatever. And so what they'll do is they'll now put Bucky Barnes' character. Now Bucky Barnes will have the shield and be Captain America. And we're just going to, and I think a direction they're going to consider to keep us coming back year after year is like, oh, we're here to see Captain America. We don't care who plays Captain America as long as the actor's doing a good job. So that's what I think is going to happen. And then eventually, They're going to find their way to just keep revamping. So they're either going to go that direction, they're going to go the direction of the characters, or they're going to go the direction of just the actors change. Either of which, as long as the movies are great, I don't care anymore. I mean, you know, that's just my theory. So.
Yeah, I feel like changing the option of so Tony Stark hangs up the armor, but somebody else takes up the mantle. I think that is the more interesting route. And the more challenging route to do. Part of it, I think, also is going to be Kevin Feige, the producer, and kind of like the king of Marvel. Let's just call him that. He's kind of made clear that Infinity War is the end of this arc, more or less.
Yeah.
With that, my hope is that if there's a sunsetting for certain characters, so somebody goes off and lives in peace in the galaxy, they're done, or a couple die. So these people are done and dead. There has to be a certain amount of retiring of these characters. Otherwise, it does feel like it's going to buckle under the weight of all of these characters. Doing this cast bonanza might work for one movie, might work for Infinity War, but then you do need something like Ant-Man, you do need something like Ragnarok that is very standalone and just this is just an awesome time with a character. And maybe even that's an element that they kind of lean harder into, is the standalone idea, and less of less Civil War, which as good as it was, can also be Avengers 2.5 with all the continuity tied into it. And so maybe they go more into the hey, this is an adventure with, you know, one of these comic book heroes, and that's it.
So there's three phases right now, right? And phase one is Avengers Assemble, right? Starts with Iron Man 2008, Incredible Hulk. You know, it's all the firsts, right? The first Captain America, the first Thor. Iron Man 2 is actually in there. The first Hulk is in there.
Okay.
And then it ends with Avengers. All of them being assembled and coming together and defeating aliens and all that. Phase two is Iron Man 3, the second Thor, the second Captain America, the first Guardians of the Galaxy. So every phase, they bring in a new one of these films.
Oh.
I guess Ant-Man 2. And phase three is the third Captain America, Civil War, then you get Doctor Strange, you get the new Spider-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, Ragnarok, and then phase three ends with Black Panther, Infinity War, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Captain Marvel, which I'm super excited for, and then one final Avengers film next May. So
So May 2019.
Yeah.
That'll be the end of
Feige's phase three. And then there's already... There's already post phase three films announced as well. So I don't know. I'm hoping there's some type of these actors are done, or these characters, some finality to phase three. And it seems like that's what they're planning. What you're talking about with Feige saying that, but Amy Pascal and Kevin Feige are still they're still producing all the movies past stage three. So who knows how different it's really going to be.
I just think maybe they don't like being tied to the phases. I think so. I think they might still be in control, and the movies might be similar, but I think maybe they don't like being tied to this map. I think they want to be able to go.
They made the map.
Yeah. And I think that's why they're breaking it. I think that's why they're breaking it too, because I think, I give them a lot of credit, because I've just been very impressed with the product that they're giving me. And so I think they realize if we're going to keep continuing to do something, it has to be new. It has to be exciting, you know, because I keep thinking they're getting better. And I think they get more freedom if they get out of the box a little bit and they maybe start trying to do something a little different than what this. So if they keep doing this phase thing over and over again, eventually it's just going to die out. So I think maybe this is a move by them to give them a little more flexibility, which I think is a good move. Totally, I think a cynical person might look at it like it's, you know, like they're just being a very, you know, financially, you know, minded, you know what I mean? But I hate to sound cheesy. Like, I'm okay with that, but I also think they're trying to diversify their portfolio. And if they don't, if they stick to the same model, it's going to die. You know what I mean? And so I think they're giving themselves a little more adaptability by cutting out the phases. And I'm excited to see. I mean, you never know. They might even stop making movies, because there's a lot of people worried about the, you know, how financially stable movie theaters are anymore. So this might give them an opportunity to maybe branch out more into Netflix, which they already have a foothold in, or something else. You know what I mean? Who knows? So I think the idea that they're really thinking ahead of the game is really positive. And that's why DC isn't doing as well, because DC is reacting. They're not being proactive. They're reacting. And that's why their movies are not, they're just clearly not as good, except for Wonder Woman. But I think that was lightning in a bottle. It's going to be the outlier, I think. But
I felt like that was more Chris Pine and Gal Gadot than it was like, this is amazing directing and an amazing script.
You're so right. They really pulled that one. You're right. That's so true. Yeah, no,
they were just you're too so likable right. to not like the movie.
Yeah, I think the fact that Marvel is parlaying its success into Netflix, into TV, into I think Runaways is going to be on, or was going to be on Hulu. I'm not sure if it still is going to be on Hulu. But that's a more, and like changing the demographics. So Netflix, those shows are definitely more like grittier, quote unquote, like grittier in the sense of like a more adult, like Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Daredevil, Iron Fist. And then you have Runaways, which is more like a teen tween market. And so Marvel, not in the name of like, we're going to create like this entire shared universe, but just like, you can kind of enter into Marvel at various points, which is like, that's the kind of mode behind comics, is that you can enter in at any varying point and enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah.
The fact that you can, you know, enjoy one of the shows on Netflix, but not have to have seen Guardians of the Galaxy 2 to enjoy it, that says a lot. Marvel's not perfect. Inhumans is an example of that. The Defenders was not as well received as they may have hoped. And so ending the phases is just, I think, going to keep them fresh. I think it got like, we have to be on our game every single time.
It'd almost be better, right? Better for, I guess, us, the fan, the audience, if it died off a little bit. And I figure it has, right? I'm with Chad, right? It has to eventually, right? Because we've tried the superhero every 10, 12, 15 years. We try the superhero thing and it goes away within a couple years. And this is obviously the first time CGI has been good enough to keep up with that. But the quality has a better chance of remaining high if they're doing a movie every couple years as opposed to a couple movies every year.
Yeah. Otherwise it becomes like cinematic dad rock.
It's just fan service.
No one's going to want to go to a Marvel movie. Like, I mean, there's a fair amount of folks who are kind of like dragging heels to Marvel movies. Like, I talk to a lot of my friends, just like, nah, I'm burned out, man. Just like, I just don't want to go. And I get it. I totally get it.
It's going to be that way with Star Wars too, man, which I can't imagine. But I mean, like, if they start doing this where, because right now we have one every year, but they're going to get to the point they're going to get greedy, and like we all would if we're up where they are in their ivory towers, we would get greedy, and it's going to start being two a year, and after a while you're just going to be like, man, I'm done, you know? Like back when the original Star Wars were coming out, you had to wait like 2-3 years, you know what I mean? And now we're going to have 2 or 3 a year. Like that's just that's going to be
interesting. Yeah, I mean you have that announcement of Rian Johnson doing a whole new trilogy.
Shed a tear for that.
Like it's strange to me that my first reaction is like, it's not like maybe this is a whole other conversation. Probably is, but like
we will revisit Rian Johnson in Star Wars very shortly.
Yeah.
Yes, and many times in the Overthink.
Yeah. So just trying to be responsible with the storytelling, I think it's a good challenge to have, but it's a challenge.
Man, I'm happy as a Star Wars nerd and sad as a film nerd.
Yeah. Just
because his first three films that are all original and written and directed by him, I think they're all written and directed by him, were so good. And they're all in my top 15, 10 maybe. They're all amazing.
Yeah.
And to see him do a one-off and do a Star Wars, I was really excited about. But to see him do three more is a little discouraging because it's going to take a long time. And he'll be a different filmmaker on the other side when he goes to do, and maybe hasn't worked in, he'll do an original in between or something like that. I don't know, you know, something non-Star Wars in between. Who knows? But
maybe. I mean, that was the big.
It's just a lot of
it's a lot of Star Wars. And so it was a moment when it was announced that James Cameron was going to do four more Avatar movies. Oh. That's all he's going to be doing. And one of the
good riddance.
Yeah, but I mean, like, but that guy, but in terms of just like what he's done career wise, what he's done with like creation of effects and
pushing the limits and all
what he did, what he did previous to Avatar, and then he's been like, well, that's it. It's just going to be a bunch of blue people until we're done, until he dies. I'm like, okay, that sucks.
It's going to come out that he's losing his mind. It is. It has to be because, like, him committing himself to this on the level, it just it blows my mind.
Dude, didn't Avatar come out 10 years ago, too?
Yeah, 10 years ago. This is a debate a lot of people have, but, like, how, like, relevant Avatar really is. Like, are people, like, clawing for more Avatar movies? Like, I'm not. Like, I was, like, I mean, I was impressed a little bit by the other one, and I'm very
the highest grossing kind of movie of all time, Chad.
Yes, but most of that is foreign, right? Not domestic. So,
yeah, but most of it's always in the top, and those I'm very, top 10 are mostly all.
Yeah, it's true. But I'm not like super excited for the next ones as I am, like, compared to some of these, like these Marvel films that we're talking about. Like, I cannot wait for Black Panther. I cannot wait to see Spider-Man, the next Spider-Man movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just really excited. I'm like, Avatar, I can kind of take it or leave it. I'm just like, and the fact that he's committed himself to all these, like, that's just going to be, it's really interesting. I think it's going to come out that he's losing his mind.
He's lost it. I think I think that came out like 20 years ago, but
yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
So two last things I want to touch on, and feel free to add anything to this. One is I saw this, sorry to kind of take us out of superhero, but I saw this on Sunday and it was the morning of one of the, you know, the worst mass shootings in US history. And it was in the church in Texas, and the ending where Scourge takes two assault rifles and starts mowing people down completely pulled me out of that. Yeah. And I think even if it hadn't happened on that, even if I hadn't seen it on that day, the fact that this just seems to be happening on a monthly, weekly basis, these horrible shootings that, I don't know. I'm not a gun guy, obviously. And it, maybe because of that, it just totally pulled me out of the movie, but I hit what were they called? Des and Troy, his two guns. I don't know. As soon as he saw them at the beginning, he got them from Texas.
By the way, gosh,
yeah,
that really bothered me too. On a couple others when I saw it, actually, and I would say I'm like a neutral gun guy. I'm not super into them, but I'm definitely not like anti them either. But it took me out of the film, and it took me talking to somebody else to talk about how like this movie was really channeling the 80s, and like in a lot of themes. And that when someone said, I was like, oh, that's probably the intent behind it. I'm not saying it was okay, but they're like, oh, this is gonna be his Rambo moment. This is gonna be that type of action movie. And I think they missed the mark on it because I think they should have kind of maybe gone a little more ham on it, and it would have made it a little more like, oh, okay. So I think they really missed the note on that. So I think I see what they were trying to do, and they failed at it. Because I'm with you, Ben. At first, I was like, this is just not. I don't see it. You know?
Yeah. No, I totally see your point. I think as we're talking about, I'm realizing the hypocrisy of like this horribly violent, over the top violent film and series of films, and I'm caught up on the mechanism of the death. Not just the fact that he's killing people. Before the guns were there, people were dying left and right. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, I guess because it's more realistic to the world that we live in that it hit home, obviously. But before and after that, people were dying just as much.
Yeah. So, well, yeah. I mean, Hela decimates an Asgardian army, which is largely CGI.
A bunch of knives and, spears.
Yeah. And, like one of the, the Warriors 3, I think all of them get impaled by Hela's knives.
Pretty graphically.
Yeah. Pretty graphically, pretty intense. But it just felt like if not a false note, a note that was like it was closer to home than anything else was.
Yeah.
And it felt like it was a scene from a different movie. Also like kind of a a big note from a character who doesn't truly have a lot to do, you know, in throughout the movie. And so maybe that's why it also feels disproportionate to, so like the moment feels disproportionate to the character. Like the character is rather small, but that moment is really big. And so yeah, like
exactly.
He goes into this like big slow motion fight scene and this, and then he too is impaled by Hela. And you're not sure, at least I was not sure if it was like, am I supposed to feel sad that he dies?
Yeah.
Or like, is that a that bad that I don't?
Well, the entire movie I was pulled, every time he was on screen, I was kind of pulled out of it because I didn't like him to start with. And yeah. So I didn't know if I was supposed to be like rooting for him, or I was like, really, I just kind of was indifferent to him the whole time. Mm-hmm. I didn't know why he was making the choices he was making. And he ended up obviously having a pretty integral part to Hela taking over. And so I didn't know what to think of him the entire time. And so the ending just kind of confirmed that I was out on his whole storyline the entire time. So.
Yeah.
And then
too bad, because Carl Urban's great.
Oh, I can't stand Carl Urban. Oh my gosh.
Really?
Can't stand the guy.
Lord of the Rings? Come on, man.
Yeah, he's the worst part of it. Oh, he's the worst part in the best film, too. It's bad.
Wow.
I know.
This that's just, that goes back to our circle, Ben. We either super agree on it or super disagree on it. So there we go. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Continue.
Our Venn octagon, our vertex is misaligned there on that one. Anyway, and the last thing I wanted to mention was Mark Mothersbaugh, a guy who I have known this guy's name, I was going to say since before anyone else, but I realized he was in Devo before I was born. So when I was a young child watching Rugrats and his name would pop up every single credit sequence, I knew that guy's name. And so when he started showing up in like Wes Anderson movies, I think when the Lego movie came out 3-4 years ago, whatever that was, I was like, oh my gosh, Mark Mothersbaugh still doing stuff. So there was like a 20-year period where I didn't know about him. Anyway, he did the, I think he was the composer for this, right? Music by Mark Mothersbaugh, which was cool to see. Dom, you and I have talked, maybe, I don't know if it's been on the podcast or not, but you and I have talked a lot about the music in Marvel movies specifically and how they seem, I guess, kind of like trite and gray. Yeah.
Well, they're just like, they're entirely interchangeable. And yes, so this felt like the first score that, like, I couldn't put this in the first Iron Man movie.
Right.
Or I can't take the Ragnarok score and put it in Captain America. Everything else, I pretty much can.
Yeah.
It's just like, like strings, build, storm, crescendo, finish, and there you go. But like this felt an actually like a distinct voice, and a distinct like point of view on the world.
Yeah, and the first time I noticed a superhero movie do this, I guess the first time that DC's done something better than Marvel in the films was with Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Her extremely distinctive theme that I get like stuck in my head for some reason, like those eight notes just like over and over.
Yeah.
And obviously we're making this movie when that came out. Yeah. So I don't think this is an answer to that at all, but it's cool to see both of them taking that part of the movie more seriously.
Yeah. I
wonder though about this, and I've always kind of wondered this about Marvel films too, because I agree with you guys that they're very much just bland, but I always wondered if that's a choice or a byproduct, because I could see them almost like, because I almost, at the, they're so successful, I have a hard time believing that this stuff isn't like thought over and over again, and I wonder if that's just something that they intentionally are like, hey, this is just a filler here, we're going to focus our efforts somewhere else, or that might, it might be almost too much if the theme, I don't know if that was a choice or if it's just a byproduct, but I will say I agree that the score on this one was the best they've had.
Yeah.
Awesome. I actually want to go see this movie again. It's been a long time since I've wanted to see a Marvel movie. Well, that's not true. But I mean, a movie like this again. I want to go see it.
It feels weird. We've all seen this once, right? I'm used to doing movie podcasts with Jorge where we have one person who's seen it like 5 times already. So we need to get on it next time, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're definitely going to see this. I definitely want to see this again.
Yeah.
So my movie pass is in the mail.
Nice.
So I have no excuse not to go 100 times.
Sorry. Is it 10 bucks a month? 20 bucks a month?
10 bucks a month.
10 bucks a month, all you can see.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, once a day. Once a day.
Only once a day.
Okay.
Only once a day. All right.
Well,
I guess.
Well, I think the reason they got around that is if I wanted to see like, you know, the 3 o'clock Thor and the 7 o'clock Thor, you know, I can get the tickets and then maybe walk in and give you my other one, I guess, is what they were thinking about.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good call. Yeah.
Aside from the fact that your wife would be calling or, you know, like anything else.
Babe, I gotta see Thor for the 5th time today, okay? Leave me be.
It's free. Oh my gosh. Anything else on Ragnarok, Marvel, MCU?
Nothing here, man.
Sweet. All right. Thanks for joining me, fellas. This is fun.
Definitely was.
And we'll probably do one of these per superhero movie, at least Marvel movies. The ones we really enjoy, we'll try to do one of these episodes. So we'll see you guys in May. Thanks for listening to another classic episode of The Overthink. If you liked what you heard, please subscribe to our podcast network. And if you're feeling extra generous today, please go ahead and rate and review us on iTunes. That'd help us out in a big way and would eventually help us create even more content to share with you. So as always, you can check out our website over at overthinkpod.com. And our handle is @overthinkpod pretty much everywhere. So Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, check those out. Including our email address, actually, which you can let us know. Please email us. Let us know what you think of the show. Maybe some topics you'd like to see us feature on the podcast. Questions, comments, concerns. And that is also at overthinkpod@gmail.com. So thanks again for stopping by.